The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the time of 1 minute, 39 seconds in round number 7. A referee in charge, Kenny Bayless, recognizes the request of the corner and stops the contest. He is the winner by way of technical knockout. He is still the undefeated lineal heavyweight champion and the new WBC heavyweight champion of the world. The Gypsy King, Tyson Fury!
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and stuff like what an entertaining weekend that was. And a lot to look forward to. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Monday. Close enough. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Raybould is back. Congratulations. You want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. Also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, you know how to do that. And it's a Monday, not a Friday. I was looking at my Friday picks for Sam Houston when the show started, so... kind of wish it was Friday.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, but that's all right.
It's not that easy.
No, but you know what? Mondays don't suck. Mondays are fine.
No, Mondays suck.
No, Tuesdays suck. Monday, you're still kind of pumped up from the weekend. There's so much to talk about. It's fun. Then Tuesday comes along, and it's like nothing good happens on a Tuesday ever. So, yeah, I feel like I like Mondays.
Okay.
What's going on, man?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
The same.
It was a fun trip. And sometimes we have fun trips that are topped off by uninteresting fights.
Yeah.
Not the case this time.
No, I feel like we did not oversell this fight at all.
No.
And it wasn't competitive, really.
No.
But it was a fun fight to watch.
Yeah. I mean, Tyson Fury is, I mean, the unquestioned best heavyweight in the world now. I mean, part of what I said is why I was picking Fury is because I thought he won the first fight. I met people who I actually respect their opinion, who said that they thought that Wilder won the first fight.
Okay.
And a lot of it was he knocked him out, and I'm like, well, if somebody gets up, you didn't knock him out.
No, you knocked him down.
Yeah. Now, I mean, now was he? It's not like when he knocked Tyson Fury down, it wasn't like Tyson Fury slipped and, you know, just popped right back up. I mean, he hurt him bad. But that's part of boxing. I mean, if you, that's why they give you the 10 seconds, okay? He didn't knock him out. And this time, whatever, and Tyson was right. Yeah, I mean, we talked about maybe questioning his strategy about going after him, and he hunted him in that fight. And it was never even close. I mean, he dominated that fight from the start to the end. And maybe one or two good punches in the whole fight. And I think most of them were in the first round where it was like, oh, I mean, Wilder's right in this thing. And then nothing.
Yeah.
And when he knocked him down in the third, after he got up, and it's funny that, I mean, I say it's funny. It's not really funny. When he got up in the third, I told Nick and Jerry, I said, something happened to his ear or he's concussed. Something's wrong because his balance is gone.
Yeah, he did not look right after that.
He was crossing his feet and like kind of stumbling around the ring. And I was like, dude, something's wrong. Well, it turns out he ruptured his eardrum. Mm. That'll do it.
Yeah.
And then there were people who were saying that his corner stopped the fight prematurely. No. His corner...
The ref should have stopped the fight at that
point. Yeah, the fight probably... It should have been stopped already. And the corner saved him from taking serious and quite possibly permanent damage. So I didn't have any problems with the way it was the way it was reffed with the stoppage. I thought it all was the way it's supposed to be.
Did you have Fury ahead in every round before?
Every round.
Yeah, me too.
And every round.
It was reminding me a lot of the last fight where Wilder was able to get a knockout, but he took so much punishment. I'm going to give him a little credit, too, because he took some bombs, and it took a lot to knock him out. But they were right to stop it. He was clearly just – he wasn't there. And and after – yeah, and the fact that they went on as long as it did, I don't know, man. But you know what? Under 11 rounds, that was good.
Yep. I actually had some Fury by KO.
Yeah.
Was that 5-1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well done. But yeah, it was fun. I don't know if the rematch will happen next or if Joshua's on the table. I don't know what's going to be next for Wilder. I mean, for Fury. But probably a rematch, I would guess.
I would get, assuming Wilder can get healthy and do it. I know now everyone, the fight to make now is Fury Joshua, and if I'm Joshua's people, I'm doing everything I can to get it. I don't know that it's going to look much different than what we just. I think Fury just destroys Joshua too. So this guy is the champion. He's going to be the champion for a while, I think,
as long as he can keep it together.
Yep,
outside the ring, because that's what derailed him last time. But man, he's just a beast, and for a guy that big, technically he's really good. On top of everything else. And that just, it was amazing to watch. He's an amazing fighter. And I'm glad that the heavyweight division is interesting again, because I think whenever he fights now, it's going to be an event like this.
Yeah.
Until somebody is able to knock him out, which good luck with that. 713-780-ESPN. I want to shout out to our buddy Eric Sandler for picking the dinner place Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
Just tell you, there is a reason. There's a reason Eric is the best when it comes to food.
Yeah.
And went to a restaurant over in the Venetian. We all had a fantastic dinner, a great time, and Eric set it up. So, shout out to him. And somebody already was asking, can Wilder try to get a clause in the next contract that will set the weight limit at 250 to 260?
No, it's heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, they are what they are. Now, he does have a clause that he can trigger for a rematch.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Wilder has, he does have that rematch clause. But Wilder trying to somehow work things into a contract now, a stipulation like that, I mean, any promoter would just laugh at that and just say, dude, he's the champion.
Yeah.
You figure it out. If he was going to do that, he should have done it a long time ago, and it's way too late now. He's lost any negotiating power. And yeah. I'll be honest. In the building, it wasn't even close to a 50-50 split on fan support. Not even close.
Oh, no. Well, all of Vegas was like that. I mean, my goodness. He clearly brought a lot of travelers with him.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing scene around there, even after the fight. I mean, they're just, guys were singing. And it's always fun when you get someone who's got a following from somewhere outside the United States and they bring them all with them. And we see that with Canelo, although Canelo has a lot of followers in the States too, but Manny sometimes. But this was his wild as I've seen in terms of I think I mentioned it Friday. It reminded me of a Conor McGregor fight. You know, that kind of support.
Yeah.
But, it was well worth it. And I can't wait to see who he fights next. And that was, man, that's just a powerful dude who knows how to box. And he definitely hurt Wilder early. I think you nailed it in that third round was where he really hurt him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The fight was over after that. Even as good as Wilder can be with his magic power that you like to call it, it just wasn't there, and it wasn't going to happen. He was just going to take more and more of a beating, and that's what wound up happening.
Someone tweeted in, and Mario says, it was not a ruptured eardrum. Nick had a good interview saying it was not a ruptured eardrum, and he's right. I just looked it up. That was the initial report, so that is proven not to be true. So he just got his ass whooped, I guess.
Well, so you take a shot there, ruptured eardrum or no, that's going to affect you.
Yeah.
And it's going to affect your balance and everything else. So and that's not taking anything away from the other guy. A lot of people wanting to know the place at the Venetian was called Major Domo Fish and Meat. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Major Domo.
And it was really good. So if you're in Vegas, check that out.
We had a gigantic slab of beef ribs.
Yes.
For the table. And there were nine of us eating. And we split up this what's supposed to be an entree, but it,
right.
I mean, we got it as an appetizer. $275.
Yeah.
We all ate a healthy amount of it. And then they took the leftovers and made fried rice with it. Oh, it was so good. Mm. And barbecue places here need to take note. Take some of that beef rib, make fried rice with it.
Yeah, that's a good plan. That's a good plan. That was good stuff. And really, everything was good. And I didn't need to eat anything after the ribs.
I didn't either. And that was, I said, I don't think I'm going to order an entree.
And you ordered a fish.
Yeah, because everybody peer pressured me and was like, oh, you're gonna need more than just this. Eric was like, it's just like an appetizer. You're going to need more. And so I ordered some grilled fish, and sure enough, I didn't need it, but of course I ate it, because I mean, like a 60-something dollar piece of fish, what am I going to do, not eat it at that point? No, you got to eat it. You suck it up.
Yeah.
And then I had creamed spinach and...
And a little bit of everybody's plate, because we were sort of passing stuff around.
It was like family style.
Yeah, and it was really good, and... there was a lot of fantastic. Hell, I just got the macaroni, and that was fantastic. So, highly recommend. And if you can go in a group and get those beef ribs, it sounds like a lot of money, but with nine people, it really wasn't. I mean, the bill wasn't nearly what I thought it was going to be at the end. So, yeah, definitely worth checking out. I'm going to have to update my little Vegas thing that I have on the website and throw that in there, because that was pretty cool.
I want to make one more note. They talked to... to Deontay Wilder today, and this might be one of the worst excuses in the history of boxing. Like, why did you lose this boxing match? His legs were weakened by the 45-pound costume he wore to the ring.
Oh boy, really? That costume was about the only thing he did right all night. Yeah, okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in here on a Monday. So, uneventful flight for the most part.
Yeah.
I did have, on the way back, the guy sitting next to me who looked like younger redneck John McClane. Kept pushing his arm onto the armrest next to me, and then it would knock the channel off of his TV, and he'd start bitching at me about it. And I finally told him, bro, I have not put my arm on your armrest.
Was he a great big fat person?
He was. And he's, you know, so I finally just, decided, you know what? I'm going to sleep. Screw you.
Okay.
And, hopefully snore really loudly.
Yeah. You should have just slapped him. I guess that's probably frowned upon on airlines.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. There's no reason for violence.
Okay,
but
you say so.
Yeah, and I get home, and I take my check bag and I start taking all my stuff out of it. And I go, man, why does all my clothes smell like weed? I didn't smoke that much while I was there, and I had left a pre-roll in the pocket of one of my jeans, and it made it home. So hey.
Oh yeah, I bring home pot all the time from there.
Yeah, see, I've never even tried because I'm just afraid I'll be the one who gets arrested.
Yeah, big deal. You get arrested, lawyer Dave will get you out of it.
Yeah, probably so. So Hockley Dan says, I'm going to add 45 pounds to my uniform at work for safety reasons, get hurt, and then claim workers' comp.
That's the move.
And call lawyer Dave. That's a good plan.
My legs were weak from the costume.
Yeah, that's the best.
You gotta be crazy. And Colts fan Jose says, so by that logic, Fury kept his legs fresh by being carried on a throne to the ring. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually a good one. He didn't walk at all.
That walk-in is the hardest part, apparently. Yeah. Tougher than the fight. Brandon said, I know you guys were there so couldn't see it. But Wilder was pacing back and forth for an hour before the fight. He looked nervous, whereas Fury sat on a couch and relaxed. That's why he was tired, not his costume.
I will say this, and that's what it was a problem when I fought. Like, I am a pacer, you know, and I was, every time I fought, I was nervous. And my coaches all had to, like, just tell me, dude, just sit down. Lay down on the couch, you know, put your hoodie on over your head and put in some headphones and don't think about anything but fighting. And
I don't know how you can do that.
It's pretty tough, but it helps a lot. Like, my last fight, I took a nap. And, I mean, it goes a long way.
Well,
because there is something to that. It can wear you out, like, mentally.
Yeah, because you want to peak when you go to the ring, not.
But you would think a dude who's had like 50 some or 44 whatever fights, you get to a point where it's not as.
Yeah, by now he should know what to do.
Right.
But.
Well, I don't know if y'all saw, because y'all were in the arena, but Fury was catching a lot of flack because he was dancing with his brother in his locker room and staying loose and stuff like that. And Wilder's just sitting there, and he looks like he's going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
He looked serious, and he was stretching, and he was, you know, swinging and stuff. But everyone's like, oh, just put the house on Wilder. Fury's screwing around. He's not taking this seriously. I was like, that doesn't mean he's not taking it seriously.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, nobody's not taking that fight seriously. They both are undefeated. They each have one draw against each other. They were taking there was millions and millions of dollars on the line. Yeah, they're taking it seriously.
409 Chilton says, Apollo Creed wore a 45-pound cape in Rocky IV and didn't complain when Drago killed him.
Well, that was different.
How so?
It's hard to complain when you're dead.
That's true. That's a good point.
But I do think Rocky made that excuse for him.
Yeah, afterwards he said that. And
hey, if he wouldn't have wore that cape.
Oh boy. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you wish to get in. And people asking for hockey plays, none tonight. There's only one game. I'll have a couple tomorrow. I didn't really gamble much on this trip. I went and did the horses Saturday. That didn't go well, but cashed on Fury on the under and cashed on a couple of hockey games. So pretty much a no blood type of weekend.
You know, this is the more I read this story, I'm actually pretty disappointed in Deontay Wilder in the way he's handling this.
He handled it well after the fight.
He did, but he's not handling it as well now. Wilder wanted to make his ring walk prior to the heavyweight title fight special, and he wore a 40-pound costume as a tribute to Black History Month. But Wilder said the costume was too heavy and was the reason he didn't have his legs under him in the 7th round TKO loss of Fury. Which, by the way, if carrying 40 pounds, let's just, I don't think it's this far, but let's just give him the benefit of the doubt and say 100 yards, which I don't think it's 100 yards from the locker room to the ring. If that exhausts you, that tires your legs out to the point where you can't fight, you weren't ready to fight. You're talking about a guy who weighed, what, 250, 240-something pounds?
Yeah.
You put 40 pounds on someone's back that's of that size and is that great of an athlete? That's like a woman putting on her purse and walking across the street. I mean, that's a horrible excuse. But he goes even further. He said he'll go to Africa at the end of March on vacation, plans to exercise his rematch for a third fight with Fury. He'll get back to boxing once he returns from Africa. He also said he is upset with assistant trainer Mark Breland for throwing in the towel to stop the fight and suggested that Breland will no longer be part of the team on fight night. He said he was displeased with the work of referee Kenny Bayless, who took a point from Fury in the 5th round, and went out of his way to congratulate Fury on his performance, which I didn't know if they took the point or not. You couldn't tell that in arena.
No.
If they took a point away. I thought maybe they were just giving him a warning, and I didn't even know really for what. Was it for leaning on him or what?
I think so.
Okay.
I was watching it, but I didn't have the sound up, so by the time it happened, I was like, oh, crap, what?
Just admit it. You were watching on an illegal stream, weren't you?
Maybe.
Okay. And then it says Wilder was knocked down in the third round by a straight right hand, then again in the fifth with a left hook to the body. His balance seemed off for much of the fight, and he slipped several times and went down two times in addition to the official knockdowns. Yeah, one of the times he basically was trying to double leg Tyson Fury and got bailed out. I would have called that a knockdown if I were the ref, because he was going down and he started diving at Tyson's legs to try to take him down with him so it wouldn't be a knockdown. And then the other time, the only reason he didn't get knocked down, and he's saying he's displeased with the work of the ref saved him from another knockdown because he stumbled back into the ref and into the ropes, or he would have gone down then. He said he wasn't hurt by the punches and wanted a chance to continue. As Yahoo Sports reported on Sunday, he did not suffer a concussion, a broken eardrum, or a broken jaw. The only physical injury he had was a 2-centimeter cut that was closed with 7 stitches. That's ridiculous. He said, he didn't hurt me at all, but the simple fact is my uniform was way too heavy for me. I didn't have no legs from the beginning of the fight. In the third round, my legs were just shot all the way through, but I'm a warrior and people know that I'm a warrior. It could easily be told that I didn't have legs or anything. A lot of people were telling me it looked like something was wrong with you. Something was, but when you're in the ring, you have to bluff a lot of things. I tried my best to do so. I knew I didn't have the legs because of my uniform. I was only able to put it on for the first time the night before, but I didn't think it was going to be that heavy. It weighed 40-some pounds with the helmet and all the batteries. I wanted my tribute to be great for Black History Month. I wanted it to be good, and I guess I put that before anything. He says his head trainer, Jay Dees, had criticized Breland at the post-fight news conference for stopping the fight, which Wilder did not attend. Wilder said he had spoken to members of his team long before and said he never wanted them to stop a fight. He said he still loved Breland, but that he wouldn't be part of the team going forward as a result. He says he wants a body on his record and said he'd emphasize to his team, including Breland, many times that they were never to stop a bout. I'm upset with Mark for the simple fact that we've talked about this many times, and it's not emotional. It's not an emotional thing. It's a principle thing. We've talked about it for many years before this ever happened. I said, as a warrior, as a champion, as a leader, as a ruler, I want to go out on my shield. If I'm talking about going in and killing a man, I respect the same way. I abide by the same principle of receiving. So I told my team to never, ever, no matter what it may look like, to never throw in the towel with me because I'm a special kind. I still had 5 rounds left. No matter what it looked like, I was still in that fight. I understand he was looking out for me and trying to do what he felt was right, but this is my life and my career, and he has to accept my wishes. Okay.
Yeah, he saved your ass, man. No question. No question. Well, I guess I get you fired these days. But I mean, that's what you're there for, right? You have to look out for the guy because he's not going to look out for himself in that situation.
Yeah.
All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Keep on going.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We did everything that I did in the ring tonight. We practiced in the gym, setting up off the jab and landing the detonation right hand. And Deontay Wilde's a very tough guy. He took a lot of good rights. And I think they've done the right thing because it was only a matter of time before he got severely hurt. He was very tired in there.
And we're back. I just love that guy's accent.
I mean, am I wrong? Is he not just a really likable dude?
Oh, absolutely. Like, absolutely.
He's great for boxing because obviously he's a great boxer and he's a great showman and he's just charismatic and likable. Like,
that's what's been missing from the heavyweight division.
Yeah.
As much as I like Deontay Wilder, not the most exciting guy. He did help push this fight quite a bit, but
He's exciting in the ring.
In the ring, yeah. But outside,
yeah.
Not a lot of charisma, not a lot of ability to sell.
Well, and that's been the heavyweight division for years and years because the Klitschkos were like,
yeah,
you know, these guys who just, they never talked. And when they did talk, it was boring. And, yeah. I mean, it's they were good at what they did, but it wasn't fun to watch. Tyson Fury's the total package. I mean, this is the kind of guy that makes you want to watch heavyweight boxing.
And he does a good job of selling the fight,
yep.
And he really did throughout. And I can't wait for his next one. I'm excited about it.
So at once, yeah, Mr. Gray says, why not just take the suit off? I guess the theatrics was more important to him. He's reminding me of Rousey when she cried on Ellen after Nunes beat her. That's the other thing. He's like, my priority was Black History Month. Like, you could just walk out being black and, you know, become the undisputed champion. That's like, I would guess that'd be a nice tribute to Black History.
Yeah, I think there's a few other things you could have done.
Something.
Yeah, wear an MLK shirt.
Yeah.
Or a robe. An MLK robe. Something like that. There's a lot of things you could have done.
Brother Bear says, will this this pending heavyweight fight trilogy bring more eyes to the other weight classes, or will boxing continue to lose out to MMA? I mean, it's easy to say boxing's losing out to MMA, but this pay-per-view will have made more money than any pay-per-view in MMA history, more than likely. So it's all a matter of perspective. It's that boxing doesn't feel like they're losing because they're making a ton of money. I mean, the UFC's putting on more events that make money, but when boxing has these home run swings like this, it's you can't even put a price on it.
Well, I think I heard today over 1 million buys.
Oh, yeah.
Which doesn't surprise me. And, you know, that's a lot of money. And big fights.
The gate was crazy. I mean,
yeah, they still make a bunch of money. They won't make it as consistently as MMA does, but the big ones like that. Now, I do think there is a pretty big gap between fighters like Fury and Wilder and just random heavyweights.
Yes.
And who makes what. But when you get to that level, like Floyd Mayweather could fight you tomorrow and sell a whole bunch of them and make a bunch of money off of it. Just because he's Floyd Mayweather. Kenny Leon has his 4 o'clock reminder that O'Brien blew the 24-point lead and got a promotion.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like in the history of the UFC, and this is if this is accurate, who knows, because the UFC, they report their own numbers, so it's not like they don't have motivation to, you know, make those numbers sound bigger than they are.
Yeah.
But it says here that they've had 16 pay-per-views in their history that hit 1 million-plus buys.
Okay. I'm guessing most of them involve Conor McGregor.
Khabib McGregor, number one. Diaz McGregor, two, number two. McGregor Diaz, the first one, number three. Alvarez McGregor, four. UFC 100 was fifth. That had Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and I was going to say Lesnar would probably be the other
and,
one.
And George St. Pierre on it. Aldo McGregor, 6. Lesnar Carwin, 7. Rousey Holm, 8. Nunes Rousey, 9. Rampage Jackson versus Rashad Evans, 10. Lesnar Velasquez, 11. The Ultimate 2008. I don't know what that card was. That was UFC 92. Then Weidman Silva, 2. Couture Lesnar, Tate Nunez, McGregor Cerrone. So almost, I'd say of the 16, sounds like 12 of them, 13 of them had Brock Lesnar, Ronda Rousey, or Conor McGregor. And only one of those people is still on the active roster. The other two work in pro wrestling now.
92 was Rashad Evans, Forrest Griffin as the main event, and the co-main was Frank Mir versus Nogueira.
I don't think that's the right one. Because this says, it's 12/27/2008.
Yeah. Well, 26th was a Friday. But yeah, UFC 92, The Ultimate 2008.
Huh. Okay. And what was the headliner?
Rashad Evans versus Forrest Griffin.
Whoa. Wow. Okay. Well, Rashad Evans, underrated pay-per-view seller. Twice hitting 1 million as a headliner. All right.
I was a big fan of his when he was coming up. And then once the waters got a little deeper, he wasn't quite the same fighter. But he was pretty exciting before, you know, early on.
But I don't think boxing is losing out. I think there's plenty of room for both sports to be successful.
Yeah, and I think that's – I never quite understood the – you know, I'll be a fan of this one or not that one thing, or this sport's better than that. There's no reason why you can't enjoy them both.
I love watching both. And I'll be honest, when I watch a fight like that, and I just thinking about and all the lead up to it, the guys walking out, fight sports are the best thing in the world, like in sports. Like they're at least the best thing in the sports world. It's the purest thing. It's just two dudes who are going to stand in a small enclosed area and punch each other until one of the two can't get up. And people pay money to see it, and they get paid money to do it. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing when you really think about it. Because, I mean, that's been it's been happening forever.
Yeah.
Forever fighting has been a spectator sport. And the fact that we still have a way to do it in 2020 is a beautiful and amazing thing to me. I always appreciate a big fight.
Especially when it's at its best.
Yeah.
So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And Larry on the Twitch channel, I don't know any way to get stuff from HSE anymore. I don't even know if any of the people who work there are still around. So, because I actually did a TV show on there way back in the day.
What's HSE?
It was the prequel to what is now Fox Sports Southwest. But it was basically Houston-based. So, like, all the coaches' shows were on there.
Oh, okay.
I did a Greyhound show for a while and then a horse racing show. His brother was on a fight there, and he's trying to find how to get a tape of it because, yeah. And I know you said off-air, but if anybody knows anybody at HSE, hit me up. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Cool. 713-780-ESPN. It was, I'll tell you what, it was interesting being in town with Trump there.
That's one way to put it. That's one way to put it. Yeah, there was lots of, you know what? We shouldn't say it was just Trump. I mean, I'm sure, well, I know it was partially Trump because people had Trump written on the back of their trucks.
Right.
I also think the NASCAR race being there was part, it brought a certain crowd to Vegas that's not normally in Vegas, but there were many, many, many Confederate flags flying around Vegas this weekend.
I have not seen that many since the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of awkward.
Yep. But I don't know if that was, yeah, I don't know if that was all Trump or that was NASCAR. Maybe it was a little of both. But there were a lot of vehicles with big Trump signs on them as well. They had a little parade going on as we were leaving the restaurant. So, yeah, but it was a fun trip. The place was packed. I mean, hell, trying to get the Uber to get from MGM to Venetian to go meet for dinner took forever.
Yeah.
So it was packed, but not going to complain about that. It was a good time. It was a great fight in terms of entertainment, and looking forward to the next trip.
That's it.
713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And that was a good experience, but if you have a bad experience, how about this? Visit mybadexperience.com. This is a new site where you can share the ugly truth about bad businesses. For $4.99, you can tell all. Maybe you reach a resolution with the business that'll compensate you. Maybe you don't, but you'll get it out there, and if they see it, maybe they will work with you. And the reviews will stay up even if they do reach a resolution with you, so people will see that, hey, they did this, and then they made it right, or they didn't make it right. And this is a real site. There's no fake stars. There's no ratings. There's no ads. This is not a troll site. Everything's verified. You can post any bad experience to make a business accountable, because this is a site that is for the consumer. They want to put a stop to bad businesses and make a difference today. Remember, a paid review is a legitimate review. Go visit mybadexperience.com today and help stop bad business. That's mybadexperience.com. Tell your story for $4.99. Mybadexperience.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 281 says, there's been talk about how Wilder isn't a good, quote, boxer. In y'all's opinion, who are the top five purest boxers that you've ever seen? Well, he's not. I mean, I don't. There's talk about that because he's not.
Yeah.
He's not technically skilled. He's just a hell of a knockout artist.
I'll say this. Vasily Lomachenko is near the top of the. He's definitely the best one right now. If you were to go all time, boy, I'd have to. I mean,
That's.
It'd take me some time to come up with a real list, but I mean, Floyd Mayweather's on that list.
Yeah, Floyd, you just can't hit Floyd. He's probably the best defensive boxer I've ever seen.
You know, and a lot of the other ones you're talking about, all I've seen is on video, but like, I mean, Sugar Ray Robinson, and when you watch him on video, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard was great.
Yeah.
Bernard Hopkins, maybe underrated as a technical boxer. So, I mean.
Yeah, it's easy to forget how great he was because he kept fighting way too long until he was almost 50. But, yeah, he was. Roy Jones was that way, too.
Yeah.
If you want to go back there. And same thing. He just kept fighting when he should have stopped a long time ago. But there was a time where he was just the dominant fighter in the world. But, yeah, I'd have to. You know, but going back beyond. Well, I'd just say just since we've been on the show, those would be the guys that stand out the most.
Yeah.
And a little before that. But I'd really have to go back and look at some of the 70s and 80s guys because it's just it's funny. It feels like this week felt like it used to feel whenever we talked about the last time a heavyweight title fight was big. But this had the feel of a real transcendent type fight. All week long, like, you know, Hearns Hagler or, you know, the one that you're going to be talking about for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the last time. I mean, we've had some good fights. I thought the Ward Kovalev fights were good and Golovkin Canelo. And then we finally, by the time we got Manny and Floyd, they weren't really the same fighters. But just tuning in, why did Wilder's corner throw in the towel? Because he was dead on his feet.
He couldn't move.
And I know he's not happy about it today, but the reality is the ref should have stopped the fight. It never should have gotten that far. And, you know, that was my only complaint about the ref is that your guy had to do it because he didn't, but he was out, man. He was out on his feet. Ty Stamper says Prime Roy Jones was untouchable. Yeah, that's... But, boy, when it went downhill for him, it happened fast. 713-780-ESPN's the number. 713-780-3776. Kind of fun to talk boxing.
Yeah.
For the people who say, oh, you go to fights, you never talk boxing. This one was worth talking about. And Bernardo does say, anytime you guys talk Trump, would it be too much to ask AJ to do it in his Trump voice? I'll just say AJ wasted a lot of great material in the Uber on the way.
That wasn't material. That was what Trump actually said at the...
I know, but it was well done. It was well done. I'll just say that.
Las Vegas, the beautiful city. I'm happy to be here. There's good people here. Look at the Hispanics. The Hispanic Americans. I love Hispanic. I love the Hispanic. And how many of you have jobs now? Raise your hand. How many Hispanics here? Raise your hand. And what about you, the African American? I think we should call him the American African because he's just like us, really. And you, all of you who brought these Confederate flags, I know it's heritage, not hate. We all know heritage.
Yeah, that was there was some entertainment to be had there.
Yeah, definitely. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, and hour worth of boxing talk. I like it, and little trumpet thrown in, but I'll just last thought on this is I don't think that the rematch will be much different.
I don't either, honestly.
Because I think Fury was a lot better fighter in this fight than he was in the first one. And I still think he won the first fight.
Yep.
So.
And as long as he keeps taking it seriously, you know, it's going to be hard to beat this dude. He is, and he's still in his prime. I know he looks old. He's 31. I mean, he's got plenty of time left. And, you know, Deontay Wilder's 34.
Yeah.
It's not like he's going to keep getting better and better.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, what is he going to be? There's some of these fights. At least we got to see these two guys pretty much in their prime. But even when we got to see Golovkin Canelo, I think Golovkin was starting to slow down a little bit
yep.
at the end of that. And he was another one that was just fun to watch. He let himself get hit just to let the guy know you couldn't hurt me, and then he'd knock you out when he was at his best. But yeah, it was something to see. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Did you get any other sport in this weekend that you watched, or was it just pretty much the fight?
No, I watched a lot of basketball, too.
Yeah,
it was a wild weekend of basketball with, you know, Baylor losing for the first time in a long time, Gonzaga losing for the first time in a long time, San Diego State lost for the first time all year.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of – I usually around this time of year I start putting together a bracket about once a week, and I haven't finished mine for this week, but – I don't think San Diego State's going to be a one seed now. I think that's all it took.
Yeah, well, that's you almost have to run the table. Although, I mean, I don't know what their strength of schedule was outside of conference, if they beat anybody that would help them.
Their non-conference strength of schedule, according to KenPom, was 218th out of 353.
So that is what we would call not good.
Yeah. They of the top 10 teams in the country – of the top 10 in KenPom, they have the second lowest strength of schedule, adjusted strength of schedule. The only one lower is Gonzaga. Mm. So Dayton, I would argue that Dayton should be ranked ahead of San Diego State. Dayton's 25-2. San Diego State's 26-1. Here's Dayton's two losses. The first one was November 27th, 90-84 loss to Kansas in overtime.
Okay, that's... It's not bad.
And the second one was a 78-76 loss in overtime to Colorado.
Okay.
I'm going to say that resume, and then they play in the Atlantic 10, which is a way better conference than the WAC. I think I'd put them in as a one seed before I put in San Diego State.
Well, I'll be curious when you put your bracket together who you have as the 4-1 seeds.
Well, I mean... Kansas, Baylor, and Gonzaga are certainly three of them.
Right.
And honestly, I really think the last one comes down to San Diego State or Dayton. I would have thought Duke, but Duke lost to North Carolina State this weekend. And that's when you put in that loss. They've lost to three teams. North Carolina State, Clemson aren't going to make the tournament. Stephen F. Austin will only make the tournament because they'll probably win their conference. And then Louisville, I mean, they've got some really head-scratching losses. So I don't think you can give it to them.
So quick college football news, because we were talking about that Colorado job being open and some of the names that were thrown out. Did you see who they wound up hiring?
I did. Now... I said this when I guess we talked about this last week, right? I thought that Eric Bieniemy would have been a good hire.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a good hire. I'll be honest, Carl Durrell. I think that if you're taking a guy. And who, by the way, I think the only time he was a head coach was with UCLA.
Yes.
And it was...
From 2003 to 2007, they weren't bad.
I don't remember it being a very good run.
Well, he was 8 games over 500 for his 4 seasons. So, not a bad run. I always thought he did a pretty good job there.
Well, 35-27, that'd be 5 seasons.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, 2003-07, so...
When Carl Durrell's name came up, I was like, where does he even work now?
Yeah. Well, remember, he was with the Texans.
He was
for a
with
while.
The Texans for a little while. And when it turns out, when I go to look up where he's been recently, and I found, he's the assistant head coach / wide receiver coach for the Miami Dolphins, and before that, he was the wide receiver coach for the Jets. And then I started thinking, that doesn't seem like he's built a resume that would get him his job, like a job back.
Well, at UCLA, they went to a bowl game every single year, and they were 6-6 for two of them, actually for three of them. He didn't coach the bowl game the third time. So he finished 6-7, 6-6, 10-2, 7-6, 6-6. So pretty average.
Last time he was in college, he was the OC for Vanderbilt for 1 year. And he averaged 17.2 points per game and finished with a 3-9 record that season. That's not great.
He was the 2005 Pac-10 Coach of the Year.
Oh, well, all right.
It was only the Pac-10 then, though.
Okay.
So
they can't help how many teams are there.
It's a really strange hire to me, because I would think he'd have to coach at a lower level to kind of
Been with the Dolphins. It doesn't get much lower.
Well, no, but I mean, if you're going to get back to college.
His record, he was 8 games over .500 when he was at UCLA. He had a 10-2 season.
Right.
Aside from that 10-2 season,
they were .500.
They were .500.
Yeah, so I just...
Yeah, I mean, that's... I didn't realize that they were, like, every one of those seasons was 6-7 or 7-6. Like, that's... Right. I don't know. That, to me, just reeks of one outlier season that makes your overall stats look better than they should be.
Right, and it looked really promising because that was his third season when they went 10-2. So the expectations were pretty high after that, as I recall. Didn't quite live up to them. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.